Title of the message is Heaven's Hate List. Heaven's Hate List. You say, what? God doesn't hate. Oh, yes, He does. It says, you that love God should hate evil. It says God hates the wicked every day. And we have Heaven's Hate List if you take your Bibles and turn to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6. And we have 16 through 19 here. It says, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. I'd like to start out with defining some terms as we look at some of these words here. The word hate means to have a passionate dislike for someone or something. It means to have a great aversion to. Then we come to the Hebrew word abomination. To Abba is what the Hebrew word is, and it means to abhor, to detest, and to despise. So God has a passionate dislike for, He has a great aversion to, and He detests and despises these things that He lists according to what we read here. And the first one in the list, it might surprise us perhaps, but in 17 of Proverbs chapter 6, Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 17, the first thing that he hates and that he abhors is a proud look. A synonym for that would be haughtiness, but again, it works better if we do definitions and help to understand for that. The word pride. Pride is the elevation of self to a level that is not justified or deserved. That's one thing, okay? I'm going to give you another one, but pride is the elevation of self to a level that is not justified or deserved. Secondly, it's a high or inordinate opinion of one's own dignity, one's own opinion, one's merit. Inordinate opinion of your importance or your superiority, whatever as cherished in your mind, whether cherished in your mind or displayed in your conduct. So it can be what you think in your mind or it can be what you display in your conduct in relationship to pride there. Oftentimes, pride is displayed in what you think or it's displayed in your conduct. We're going to be turning various places because if God hates this, then we should hate it as well. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 21, if we might, in verse 4. Proverbs chapter 21. Down in verse 4, it says, a high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. A high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. A high look, again, that's talking about haughtiness. It's thinking that, you know, you can't be wrong. It's thinking you're better than somebody else. It's thinking that you're superior. It's not right. The plowing of the wicked is talking about going in the way that the wicked go with a prideful attitude. Now, chronologically, pride is the first sin that we see in the Bible. The biblical record, and it comes with the devil. The devil thinks he's more important with God than God. But we see where this comes from. We find it rearing its ugly head in God's highest angelic creation. If you take your Bibles and turn with me to Isaiah chapter 14, Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12, and it gives us some of an idea why Satan was so prideful when he approached Eve in the garden, because he clearly had a high or inordinate opinion of his own self, of his own merits, and he really thought that he was superior. And in Isaiah chapter 14, we get down. Let's see. I never find it in Jeremiah. Let me get to Isaiah 14. All right. There we go. Isaiah chapter 14. It says, "How art thou fallen," in verse 12. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, a son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations?" Lucifer was God's highest created, most beautiful being. He was very adept in music. He was filled full of wisdom, which he has perverted now. And he got thinking that he was on the level with God. Let's look at verse 13, and this is exactly what it says. "For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Look, verse 15. "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee." So here is God's highest created angelic being. And he gets an inordinate opinion of his own importance. And he thinks that he's going to challenge God for superiority. And so now we see why we have such difficulty in this world, because guess who is the ruler of the darkness of this present age? It's this prideful, self-willed being. Pride causes all kinds of problems. What does pride cause people to do? What does pride cause people to do? Well, it causes people to go to great lengths to get what they want. They'll go to great lengths to get what they want. Number two, they respond to temptation very easily, as in Eve's case. She was deceived by somebody who was very proud. They refuse to admit sin. They persecute others. Let's turn to Psalm 10 and verse 1. Psalm 10 and verse 1. It says this: "Why standest thou far off, O Lord? Why hidest thyself in times of trouble?" Verse 2, "The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor." It says, "Let him be taken in the devices that they have imagined." The wicked make their plans. They persecute people. They try and belittle people. They try and get the focus off of themselves. And people who are filled full of pride fight with others to get their own way. Let's look at Proverbs 28, verse 25. Here's what it says, and mark this down. If you don't have this marked in your Bible, you should note it in your Bible. It says, he that is proud of heart stirreth up strife. He that is proud of heart stirreth up strife. They're going to argue. They're going to try and pressure you into accepting their point of view. That is pride. But he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. What does that mean? It means God's going to bless them. But the pride, they're always stirring. They're stirring. They're never satisfied. They're going to seek to get their own way regardless. Pride is a very perilous prerequisite to shame. You say, what? Yeah, pride sets you up to be disgraced. That's what pride does. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 2. It says, pride, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. The Hebrew word there, if you want to check it out for yourself, it's Strong's 7036. It's the Hebrew word cologne. K-A-W-L-O-N-E. Cologne. And the word shame means disgrace. It means to be dishonored. It means to be put on display in mockery. It means to be shown to be a fool. So many times people in pride, they're asserting their own position, they're trying to get their own way, and yet, then when, as it talks about, there's wisdom with those who are following the Lord, then they're uncovered, then they're shown, and then they're disgraced, and to be put on display in mockery. That's why we need to put away pride, because pride is the prerequisite to disgrace. Pride is the prerequisite to shame. Also, while we're in Proverbs, Proverbs 13 and verse 10, not far over there, Proverbs 13:10 says, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. There you have pride contrasted to wisdom once again. And it's the Strong's word, look up in your concordance, is 4683. That is the one there, and it is matzah, and it means contention. When it's talking about contention, pride is at the root of quarreling. Pride is at the root of arguing, and that's what it says. Only by pride cometh contention. You know, it's very, very interesting. It takes two people to have a fight. And grievous words stir up strife. That's what it says. But when you're arguing with a prideful person, they won't take no for an answer. If you want to be quiet or you don't want to answer, they're going to keep pecking at you. Don't take the where there is no wood, it says in Proverbs, the fire goes out. Where there's no wood, the fire goes out. It'll aggravate them to no end, but don't put wood on the fire. You're not obligated to put wood on the fire. Pride is the perilous prerequisite to disgrace and shame. It's to contention. Pride is the prerequisite to contention. And then, also, we read in Proverbs 16, verse 18. Look at Proverbs 16, verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. The word destruction is 7667 in your Strong's, and it's Sheber, and it means this. It means crushing. It means ruin. It means breaking. So many times, let me make the application here, so many times when you get all wrapped up with pride or a prideful person, what ends up being broken is friendship relationships. What ends up being broken is trust. What ends up being broken and being crushed is any desire to have fellowship or relationship with the other person. You see this happening so many times when pride is in control. So it is no wonder in heaven's hate list that the first thing that the Lord warns us about is pride. Be very cautious about it. Sometimes we don't want to admit pride is a sin, but pride is a grievous sin. It leads to shame, it leads to contention, and it leads to destruction. Those are pretty bad things. Now, the second thing that we see back in Proverbs 6 and verse 17b is a lying tongue. A lying tongue, a proud look and a lying tongue. What is lying? What is lying? Well, to define it, it's a lie is a deliberate falsehood. The purpose of lying is to deceive or to mislead people into accepting something that's not true. So I just want to say it again. A lie is a deliberate falsehood. The purpose of lying is to deceive or mislead people into accepting something that is not true. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 22. In Proverbs chapter 12 and in verse 22, it says this. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight. God wants us to deal in truth. The New Testament says, you know, lie not, but tell the truth. That's what the New Testament. This is the Old Testament telling you the same thing. Lying lips are an abomination. This is the word that means a gross stench in your nostrils. Lying is a stench in the nostrils of the Lord. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Where do you find truth? Well, truth is, God is truth. God is truth, and God wants us to deal truly. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to not the Gospel of John, but the little book of 1 John. 1 John, right towards the end of the New Testament. 1 John, chapter 1, and in verse 5. We are to not lie. In 1 John chapter 1, it says, "This is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." What's that talking about? That's talking about God doesn't deceive. God doesn't lie. That's why we can rely upon the Bible. It really doesn't matter what your religion is. What matters is what you do with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care what your religion is, but we need to follow the Word of God. What have you done with Jesus Christ? Is He your Savior or not? We know that what the Lord Jesus Christ said is true. John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth." The truth. We read that. Our Bible, turn with me to Psalm 119, 160. So what I'm saying is, I'm having you turn your Bibles and follow these things is, if you want to know what is truth, then you find out what is truth in relationship to the Bible, and you line up what you're going to say and what you're going to do according to the Bible. If it matches with the Bible, then you're all set. If it doesn't match with the Bible, then you're in trouble. You'll find yourself in the place of a liar. Psalm 119, 160, thy word is true from the beginning. And every one of thy righteous judgments endureth for how long? Forever. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know what? We could go all the way back to the law being given to Moses. It tells us we shouldn't bear false witness. It was true back then, and it's true today. It tells us we shouldn't commit sexual sin, adultery. It was true back then. It is true today. It tells us very, very clearly that, you know, all of the things we should honor the Lord, not take his name in vain. It was true back then. It's true today. I'm just telling you what Psalm 119:160 says. It says, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Now, the ceremonial law is for the Jews. We don't have to practice the ceremonial law, because Jesus fulfilled everything in the New Testament. But I'm talking about the law that God has given us otherwise in the ceremonial law. So God's word is truth, and the fact is that God is the source of truth. Turn with me to Psalm 33 and verse 4. In Psalm 33, down in verse 4, it says, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. I am a student of history. I have a PhD in history, and I am so thankful that, as I've told you this numerous times, that we don't have a God who is like the gods of the Romans, the gods of the Greeks, the gods of the Celts, because all of their gods were lying, deceiving, evil, demon gods. They're false gods, but you know what? They were demon gods. They, you know, the devils will be anything you want to. But I'm thankful what we read in, for instance, Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. I can trust the Lord Jesus Christ. I can trust the God of the Bible. And in Titus chapter 1, it's really nice in verse 2. Paul writes this in Titus 1:1. Paul, the servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, it says, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, God which cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due time manifest his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. So, when very clearly we read in the Scripture that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved, it's Jesus Christ, God who cannot lie. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. I'm just here to tell you that it isn't a Baptist way to heaven. Jesus is the only way to heaven. And if some other religion doesn't preach Jesus only, the way to heaven, then they're not teaching the truth given to us by a God who cannot lie. There's so many religions that try and add so much stuff to how to be saved. There's so many of them that do it. I grew up in a religion that was constantly adding stuff that how you should be saved. But very, very clearly, we know that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. He is the only way. It isn't Jesus plus something. It is Jesus. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So we have a God who cannot lie. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18. We're real close there, just a few pages over. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18, I like this. It says in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, that by two immutable things. Now, we don't use the word immutable often. The word immutable means unchanging. So by two unchanging things gives us the first one, in the which it was impossible for God to lie. All right? It says, we might have strong consolation, look at this, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor for our soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. It says, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. You say, what is all that about? God can't lie. He has given us a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, which is an unending priesthood. And he is the only anchor for our soul, both steadfast and sure. So, you know what you need to do? You need to anchor your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. I love that song. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure as the billows roll, anchored to the rock which shall not move, and then so on. In the Savior's love. So all I'm telling you here is that we need to make sure that our tongue doesn't lie and we tell the truth in all areas, but particularly tell the truth about Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people who they don't want to hear you. They stick their ears in there and go, la, 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 la. I was knocking on the door. The lady came to the door, and she told me her religion. I said, oh, good, but I have something for you here. And I gave her a packet of information, and I said, you know, very clearly, what you'll find out in this packet is how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. And it has nothing to do with religion. I shared about the importance of realizing that it is a person and not a religion, and that person is Jesus Christ, and that all a person needs to do is call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. And she said, well, I didn't want you to be preaching at me, so she just slammed the door. But you know what? It's no skin off my nose. All I was trying to do was tell her the truth. But basically, when I got to saying that Jesus was the only way, there's so many people who try and tell you that there's a Baptist way, a Lutheran way, a Catholic way, a Presbyterian way, or there's some other way. I am here to tell you that we have a Bible and a God who doesn't lie, and he says that Jesus Christ is the only way, the only way. You can slam the door in my face if you like. But Jesus is still the only way. You can curse me out if you like, but Jesus is still the only way. You can call me a liar if you want, but Jesus said, if they heard my words, they'll hear your words. If they rejected my words, they'll reject your words. Because there's so many people who just kind of go, la, 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 because they're comfortable in not knowing the scriptures. They really don't want to know the truth. They really don't care if they're hearing a lie. And yet some of us, how many of us believed a lie for a time? Many of us believed a lie for a time until what Jesus says, I come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus Christ is the way, the only way to heaven. There's not a Baptist way. There's not a Lutheran way. There's not a Catholic way. There's the Jesus way. That's the truth. A God that lies not says so right here in the Bible. And he is the way, but he is also the truth. And the neat part about it is, if you come to realize that Jesus Christ is the way and the only way, and that what he says about going to heaven is true, then you get life. Spiritual life. I'll close with this. Even though I got more to do on this, we'll pick up on this next week. But it's really too bad when people don't realize why people die. Why do people die? I'll tell you why people die. It's because of sin. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, St. Paul wrote to the Romans, wherefore as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed unto all men, for that all have sinned. We need to, when you're presenting the gospel, make sure you get people lost first. We're sinners. That's one thing I didn't like about Bill Bright years ago. They forced spiritual laws. They never talked to people about sin. We're all sinners. Wherefore, why did sin? It goes all the way back to Eden. Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered the world, and death by sin. Remember, Satan said to Eve, thou shalt not surely die. God had said, when you eat of that fruit, you'll die. And Satan said, you'll not die. You'll not die. But there's two kinds of death. There is spiritual death. And you know what? We're born spiritually dead. We're born spiritually dead. That's why God sent Jesus Christ. That's why the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why the Word of God is quick and powerful, or living and powerful, because the Holy Spirit of God uses the Holy Word of God so that we can see our need and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're spiritually dead. We're dead already. And that's what I just, John 3:16-18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. So the only way to become spiritually alive is by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the only way. That's the only way. That's the truth. That's God, who cannot lie, said that's the way. That's why he sent his Son. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. Why? The world was condemned already. It's like a life preserver. God saw that we were drowning in sin, headed for hell, and he threw a life preserver, a life ring, within our grasp. It's right there. All you have to do is, by faith, take it. take it. Pardon's no good unless it's accepted. Christ is Savior of all men, but you know what you have to do? You have to believe. Salvation is enough to save everybody, but what we have to do is believe. So as we're sharing the truth, don't water down the gospel. People need to understand that they're sinners, they're lost, and God didn't send Jesus to condemn the world. They were already condemned. He sent Jesus Christ to save us. You know, believe it or not, you look at me now and you'd never believe it, but at one time I was a certified Red Cross lifeguard. I remember having to go into the water to save somebody who was drowning. And one of the things, and it's a good thing that it came into my head, but one of the things they said is be careful how you grab the person who is drowning, because they'll latch on to you and take you under as well. I was going to get Michael up here, but he doesn't have enough hair to grab onto. But anyway, I could get Pastor Longstein, but anyway, sorry, brother. So what I did when this person is flapping around in the water, I grabbed him by the hair. He said, that was me. No, it wasn't. If I wanted to live and he wanted to live. And you know what he did? He latched right onto my arm. And then I was able to swim to shore where he could get his feet on the shore. I was able to save him. The point is that the life ring has been thrown within our grasp because God loved us. I'm telling you, throw the life ring to people. You can't force them to take the life ring, but you can throw the life ring so that it's within their grasp. Some of you who raised your hand earlier, how many of you are glad you took the life ring? Amen to that. So, two things that God hates, a proud look. And when you're presenting the gospel, make sure that you don't do it pridefully. I want to tell you something. We're only sinners saved by grace. We're all only sinners saved by grace. Well, I wouldn't ever do the things that you've done. You need Jesus. Oh, yeah? You're a garden variety sinner just like I'm a garden variety sinner. Everybody's just a garden variety sinner. So be careful. Be careful. Be careful when you're pretending the gospel. And then make sure that you don't lie. You tell the truth. We're going to stop right here. Let's